Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Toby and Joe, you are ordered to watch every Doctor Who series alive. Discuss them all.
Today we're going to be talking about the sixth serial of the fifth season of Doctor Who, Fury from the Deep, which aired from March 16th, 1968 to April 20th, 1968. Those are six completely missing episodes.
True facts!
And before we get into talking about the serial, I want to take a brief moment to do a segment I like to call Joe and Tony Don't Know Things.
Oh no, what don't we know?
In the Enemy of the World podcast, we talked about Australasia, and we just assumed that it was their combination of countries or something. But
that's a funny made-up thing we said.
But apparently it turns out there is an actual Australasia zone, as was pointed out by frequent listener slash guest Vincent E. Yale. So thanks for that heads up.
As Australian? Yeah.
So that's what I was about to say. Speaking of Australians, today with us we have Melissa!
Hello!
Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
How have things been going?
Pretty boring, but good. Well, I gotta go to the dentist tomorrow. That's fun.
So it's a good thing we're getting you in before you go to the dentist, because afterwards you might be all doped up.
Yeah.
Though that could be fun in and of itself.
Yeah, you could get me totally high. Imagine what a difference that'd make.
I imagine it would be similar to our Christmas one.
Yeah. Instead of drunk, it's high instead.
So let's dive into Fury from the Deep. Well, which, by the way, your last episode was the first episode with Victoria.
Yep.
And this episode might be memorable for a different reason.
You can say it.
Yeah, this is the last episode with Victoria.
Yeah, it's the reason why I chose it. I know stuff.
We know nothing.
As previously established.
In the segment, Joe and Tony Don't Know Things. Do Joe and Tony know things?
No.
Let's find out. Let's go. Let's see. Episode 1, which I have titled Foam Fight Free For All.
Okay.
We get some existing footage because they reuse this footage in a later episode of a flying TARDIS. Is this the first time we've seen a flying TARDIS on the show?
I feel like it is because I remember being really excited by seeing it.
Other than it being like in the vortex or floating in space like in the last
serial. The first time it is physically moving through space, I feel like.
And then it lands on the sea?
Yeah, it just floats.
I was curious about that. Is it like a boat? It doesn't look like it's bobbing up and down at all.
She just kind of landed
in the middle of the ocean and just stayed there on top of the water.
I don't totally understand how the TARDIS works, but I...
But I do know that she's stubborn. Like, I feel like that's the equivalent of, like, not even stopping and pushing someone out of your car. Anyway, this is your stop. I've got places to be.
I don't have time to just bob up and down roll. The water.
Do you notice that she, like, totally disappears in, like, all the other episodes, except for the last one?
She had something to do.
She decided to go meet all her little fishy friends.
He can't really control the TARDIS, so I was about to say, generally, if you, like, land in the middle of the ocean, wouldn't you just leave?
That was kind of my question.
I was questioning where he got the D from, the inflatable boat.
Well, you know.
I didn't question that at all. That's
the TARDIS.
That's something that the Doctor just has.
This kind of just starts with them in it, though.
I do wonder how you open the door. Did the TARDIS fill up with water at some point?
That's a good question.
It seems like it would have to have. It's like halfway submerged, and if they open the door to get out...
Well, they probably close it really quick.
Really quick.
Then when they go back later, they just mop up a bit.
Okay, and it's fine. But yeah, they are just sort of suddenly in a boat on their way to shore.
They're like wondering where they are, and Jamie's like, it's England. It's always England.
He's very genre savvy when it comes to Doctor Who.
He's like, it's never where I want to be.
It's never Scotland.
They find foam. Lots of foam.
Because someone figured out how to make it and they're very excited.
That happens a lot.
Like, our previous cereal had frightening, scary foam, and this cereal has frightening, scary foam. Somebody this season just really was scared of foam.
Maybe it was the producer.
Showrunner or something.
They have a foam fight, and that's pretty cute. I imagine.
Can you imagine?
When I imagined it from the stills, it was adorable.
It was adorable in our imaginations.
And the reconstruction of our minds. But then they find a gas pipeline. And the doctor's like, well, I'm going to open it because that's what he does. Because
it's there and no one's asked him to.
And we get the new thing. We get it. The first ever appearance.
Oh, yeah. This is the first.
Of the sonic screwdriver.
Sonic screwdriver's been on it.
We've been edging towards it ever so slowly. He's had the screwdriver in his pocket. He's moved things sonically. And you know you can just see the idea forming. And here we are. Here it is. And it probably the only time ever unscrews something.
Not the only time ever.
Literally uses it to unscrew a screw.
That was a big screw.
It makes sense. He's using sound to unscrew a screw, right?
Yeah.
He actually explains that. And it's actually important for later on because the entire thing's based around Sonic.
From here on out, I imagine the sonic screwdriver just does whatever the hell they want it to do.
Whatever it needs to do to move the plot forward.
It kind of generally sneaks up that way.
It has an actual logical function here.
It's a screwdriver.
Later, it's just a free-for-all.
But you can't get it open.
The doctor doctors the pipe with a stethoscope. And there's a weird noise in it. Which is going to be the plot for the next 4 episodes.
No, you're not wrong.
There's something in the pipes that's making some kind of sound.
This will be brought up repeatedly.
Very important. Important enough to repeat many times and act as a cliffhanger.
But they're being watched, and the doctor gets shot in the shoulder. And then Jamie and Victoria also get shot. And that's the end of the series.
Very sad. Doctor Who is over. Weird place to end it. Could have been a great show.
The rest of it's just like a funeral. It's very sad. Very sad.
And too long. It's 6 episodes of just people funeral. Being sad. Weird choice. What are we doing?
I don't know. No, they got shot with like, stuff that knocks you out, I guess.
Tranquilizers.
That's the word.
I knew we had you on this podcast for a reason.
We need someone on here who knows something.
Joe and Tony don't know things. Melissa does.
I feel weird now that I'm the one that actually knows stuff.
It's your responsibility, so.
The pressure.
Yeah, it's all on you. They wake up. They can't move. And there's these guards that are just standing there, and they're not saying anything, which is kind of creepy.
I think they're zombies.
Some technicians come in and gas them awake, and then they are asked a bunch of questions, because they're like, were you trying to sabotage the gas pipe? Why were you opening the gas pipe? Who does that?
Who just walks up to something and starts messing with it? Come on, now.
And then comes the sound. We heard a weird noise in the pipes.
Oh.
Welcome to Fury from the Deep.
I know I say this a lot about six-parters, but this could have been a lot shorter. Because a lot of it is just, there's a sound in pipes. No, there isn't. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there is.
No, there isn't.
That's all mostly the fault of Robson, who is the worst.
Agreed.
Half my notes just say, Robson is a dick.
If Robson wasn't in this serial, it could be 3 episodes long.
To be fair, though, it's not really Robson. It's Robson under the control of another thing.
In the first episode, no, it's not. That's just his attitude. He's a total dick.
That's true, and he does kind of go back to being just standard dick later on,
some of that dickishness is all him.
He's inherently dickish, but not, like, evilly dickish.
But not, like, painfully incompetent, which is what he would be if it wasn't under control.
I don't know, I think some of his decisions are incompetent.
They get a very garbled transmission, I think from one of the, they have, like, sort of bases out in the ocean.
Yeah. Rigs.
And it's very garbled.
Drilling rigs,
right. It's very garbled, so Tony said they must be using Skype.
That's totally accurate from everything I know about the future. That seems right.
Are we in the future? Does it ever say what time period we're in here?
I think it was modern day from then, so late 60s.
Yeah, there wouldn't be anything to be putting it in the future.
Oh, it was a video call.
It was a video call.
Huh. Maybe it is slightly future then.
That's future-y, right?
I don't know.
We already established that knowing things is your responsibility, and you're really letting us down here.
Well, I don't think they had video call in the 60s, but I wasn't alive then, so I don't know.
I mean, I feel like I can with confidence say that they did not.
So it's slightly futuristic then, maybe. But I don't feel like it's too much in the future.
I don't know if it's really said.
I think it's just ambiguous.
How about this? It's an alternate 60s from our 60s.
That would explain the unit dating controversy.
Yes, it would.
So there's this guy, Harris. He's sort of like the one guy that agrees with the doctor sort of guy. But he's also like,
I have to lock you up because I was told to. Sorry. I'm just a peon.
I'm just following orders.
He looks an awful lot like some guy I know. It was very distracting.
I kept on thinking the same thing for Oak.
Interesting.
Oak looks familiar to me for a different reason. We'll get there when we get to his scene, because I gotta go into it. It's a big, long thing we're going to talk about at that point. Anyway, they're talking about there may be something in the pipes. The stuff they're doing there is fluctuating. The gas rate is fluctuating. And it's been fluctuating for a while because there might be something in it. While they're having this conversation, like a hand sneaks up and steals some stuff from Harris's briefcase.
The notes to prove that what he's saying about the fluctuation is true.
Melissa knows things.
Yay!
The doctor, Jamie, and Victoria are locked in the room. Jamie's going to try to go out through this vent that's above the door, while Victoria is like, I'm going to be a badass and unlock the pick with my hairpin.
Unlock she picks the lock with her hairpin. It's awesome.
Yeah. Jamie's like, you can't do that. And Victoria, like, swings the door open as, like, you were saying.
Like, he falls through the vent and, like, right in front of her as she's just waiting for him to be done. Like, I was here ages ago, and I didn't fall like an idiot.
So that's the Victoria we're gonna get this episode.
The writers are so inconsistent with Victoria, but she's doing good so far. Doing good at this point. Yeah, the thing happens where Harris can't prove the thing, so his wife has come by.
He has papers that says that there is a problem with the pipes, and he has proof.
And he's lost them.
And he's gonna show it to
Robson.
Robson, because Robson's being a dick, and is like, nothing's ever gone wrong ever since the whole time I've been here, and it never will, and I'll never accept any proof of anything ever going wrong ever. No one talk to me.
His reputation is so high for him never having turning off the pipes that he absolutely refuses to turn off the pipes for any reason.
Which is a terrible way to run a thing.
It's the most stupidest thing ever.
Like, if I had, like, a sink and I had never fixed a pipe on it ever, but then there was a leak, I would fix the pipe. I don't care how long I've not fixed a pipe.
Even if you have to turn off the water to do it.
But he's lost the files. His wife Maggie is there, and he's like, please go find these files so I can prove to Rawson that he's a dick. And I
made a really nice graph. There's a pie chart of, like, how much of a dick he is.
And there's only a tiny sliver that's not. I wouldn't even eat that slice of pie. That's how small it is. But she goes to get it, and she's like looking around, and she's going through a file and gets stung by some seaweed that happens to be in it. She throws it away because she's like, what the hell is this doing in a file?
Is there seaweed? Is seaweed a thing that exists? No.
Yes.
Is there seaweed that stings you? I've been to an ocean like once in my life.
I don't know. I think some have slightly serrated edges, but I'm not an expert on anything, really.
Melissa knows some things.
I just remember being like, oh. And I was like, oh, is that a thing that happens?
Yes. It looks like it is a thing.
Joe asked Google, and Google said, yes. Yes, it is.
Now we all know stuff.
Well, now I have something to, like, worry about.
Watch out for the seaweed.
But she throws the seaweed away, and it glows. Because it's evil.
It's seaweed that's alive.
Technically, it's a Wait.
Exactly. This episode was written by Ian Chesterton. Just the everything is alive.
They always have the scene where they're like studying the seaweed and the doctor's like, look at it, it's moving. What does that tell you? And Jamie's like, I don't know. And Victoria's like, it's alive. And he's like, yes, this seaweed is alive. And I'm like, why do you keep saying it like that? Please stop.
That's common knowledge.
Everyone knows plants are alive. What are you trying to say?
You're trying to say sentient.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to say.
I spent a portion of the time yelling at the TV, like, stop calling it alive! Stop saying it like it's new information!
I was just thinking, of course it's alive. Hello?
But Maggie gets really sick, so Harris wants to go to her. But Robson
is a dick.
And it's like, but you have work to do. But eventually, he's that tiny sliver of not dick, of the not dick pie, agrees to let him go. And then Victoria is sort of like creeping around. Because I don't remember why, but like, okay, so like the doctor's like going to investigate stuff, but tells Victoria to stay behind, which she doesn't.
No, she goes exploring.
There's not a good reason. They're just like, we're going to go. And Victoria's like, all right. And then he's like, no, you stay here. I think it would be best.
Because like, you are a lady.
I guess.
And then she's like, fuck that noise, and goes to explore. And she goes into this oxygen room. While she's in there, someone locks her in there. Stuff starts pumping into the room, and she's having difficulty breathing, if I'm not mistaken.
People in the oxygen room turned on one of the oxygen tanks. So it was being flooded with oxygen.
I mean, I feel like if just one tank was on, how much
oxygen before you start to feel bad? Because, like, isn't, like, a little extra oxygen, you feel good? I've heard they do that with casinos. They'll, like, pump a little bit of...
You're talking about, like, they have, like, oxygen bars where they give you, like, an oxygen mask and it's, like, fruity flavored.
No. I've heard... Okay, I read a book.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I read a book. I read a book where, like, there was a casino, and they would pump out a little bit of extra oxygen because it makes people happier and more willing to, like, yeah, I'm gonna win, and then they lose all their money.
I don't think that would be as much oxygen as we're talking in this episode. The whole room was being flooded.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like there was like a row of tanks and like all of them were on.
I think it was just one or two, but even that would flood it.
It's a lot of oxygen.
Too much!
Too much.
Too much oxygen.
And she starts picking the lock to get out. But then foam starts coming through the vent into the oxygen room. There's a vent and like just foam starts
flowing. Because it's our new favorite trick.
Foam, yay.
Meanwhile, the doctor and Jamie are checking out the pipeline and the intellar, which is a thing that pumps gas out to the sea. Not into the sea, right? Like
I think it was natural gas to the sea or...
Not entirely. Is it like process it and then... I don't know. I don't understand science.
Whenever they were, like, standing by the pumps and talking about it, Joe would just go,
I'm not interested in pumps.
I don't care about this.
Because guess what? The doctor hears beating in the pipes. Like a thumping noise. Because that's what keeps happening.
It's the noise.
Then the doctor hears that noise, and then hears a different noise, which is Victoria's semi-trademark. She's screaming.
I don't think it's so much semi-trademark anymore.
As much as I get annoyed at the amount she screams sometimes, they do a nice thing with it later on in this serial, which we'll get to.
Oh yeah, it was good.
But that's the end of episode one, and we are now into episode two, which I have titled The Sound of Bubblies. So the doctor and Jamie open the door and let Victoria out, and she says she saw something in the foam, a creature of some sort. Robson thinks Victoria has sabotaged things, which is why she was in there, and does not trust her. Meanwhile, Maggie at home...
She's okay. She's fine.
She's kind of Sony, but... She's doing okay-ish. And
except that her house is covered in bubbles.
Which she doesn't recognize or know about. Which is odd.
Yeah, they're on her patio and Harris goes to get help for her because she's still kind of sick. And Maggie is really afraid of the bubblies. She sees them on the patio, I think.
Did that make sense to anyone else? Why was she afraid of them?
Because foam is evil.
Yeah, but at this stage, she's already been stung. It makes no sense that she's afraid of the foam.
Well, she is sick, so...
I'm trying to come up with a good reason, and maybe it takes a while? Like, she's sick and she's out of it because the thing that happens when you're stung is, like, happening. still.
It kind of mucks around with your brain a bit.
Before it, like, completely takes over.
Okay, I'll take it.
Alright.
So the doctor tells Robson to turn off the pipes. Robson says no. Doctor's like, it might explode. But Robson's like, yes, but I'm a dick. Harris shows up and is like, asks Robson, can I take the doctor to see my wife? Because she's bad. And he's like, you have an hour. After some, you know.
With,
no.
I feel like this is important. He actually asks, like, can I bring, like, a medical person? And he's like, we don't have any. He's like, well, what about the doctor? They establish that there's nobody else to help but the doctor. This is important because in the next episode, the doctor shows up and does not help her.
I know.
And Harris is like, well, I'm going to get an actual medical examiner.
Nobody bothered asking what kind of doctor the doctor is in this episode.
Well, he wouldn't answer anyway.
True, but usually he gives some explanation that he's not a medical doctor.
Okay, we're getting too close to something here.
It's going to be okay. You can do it.
So some guys show up to inspect the foam at Maggie's. It took me a little while. I didn't know if they were supposed to be creepy bad guys or comic relief. It could have went either way at this point. Because they're, one, they look like you're...
One of them's really tall and one of them's really short.
They look like your stereotypical comedy duo. And they have, like, some really awesome theme music. I really like their music. This is the only thing I like about them. Okay, their names are Mr. Oak and Mr. Quill.
Which, again, is a very comedy.
Yeah, that's also very comedy. Or bad guy. It could go either way.
I've seen it done on a comedic bad guy on Ninja Turtles.
But then we see that one of them is growing, like, seedweed hair on his hands. And then he's covered up with gloves. And we're like, okay, so he's probably bad. And then it happens. So Maggie's, like, combing her hair. And they just walk in and stand behind her. And she's like, what's going on? What's happening? And they're not talking. And it just, oh my god.
Do you need me to say what happens?
Oh god, I fucking hated this scene so much. Because this bit exists, by the way.
It's some of the only existing footage, and it just so happens to be something that is, like, particularly
terrifying to me. I used to have nightmares like this. Of just someone staring at me and they slowly open their mouth and, like, scream at me. Like, not, they don't scream, they just open their mouth and, like, and that's it. And their eyes get wide and I swear to God they look like this motherfucker in this episode. I am not okay with this.
Like, we were
they were creepy.
From, like, the gut, he was like, no!
Oh my god, it was terrifying.
And that's the reason why any scene involving anybody even remotely getting hurt in these episodes, even if it's not physically, the scene is actually still there. Just because it terrifies the hell out of you.
Oh my god. I wish this didn't exist. Oh my god.
I've never seen such, like, a strong emotional reaction.
It's the scariest thing I have seen in classic Who and new Who. Just all Who. It's scary.
It's scarier than eye boogers?
It's... Oh my god. Eye boogers. Let's not talk about eye boogers.
Let's not acknowledge that.
That is not a thing that happened. So yeah, they breathe on Maggie and she passes out.
Because they breathe out poisonous gas.
My stomach hurts from just thinking about this. Do you need, like, a minute?
Do we need
to... I'm fine. So the doctor and them get there and it's, like, full of the gas. Jamie breaks a window to let it out. They go in and Maggie's in a coma and they find the seaweed and realize, like, Harris was supposed to touch it, not her.
It was placed there intentionally for him.
People obviously forgot that he has a wand.
Then we go back and again, there's a blockage in the pipe or something. They feel like it and they can only unblock it with Robson's approval. Robson refuses to believe there's anything in the pipes. That's the cliffhanger.
Yeah, they hear the same noise that we heard at the beginning of the first episode and are like, hey, there's something in the pipes.
That's not a cliffhanger.
We already have this information.
This is the worst cliffhanger I've seen in this show.
The sound that we hear in the pipes is exactly like if you, like, overloaded your washing machine and, like, the bad guy is Suds. And I feel like this was, like, somebody had a washing machine accident and went, yeah, I can work with this.
Where do you think they got all the foam from?
Yeah. They just took, they're like, this isn't a mistake if I can make a great episode from it. So, it's still kind of a mistake.
The doctor's like, we were inside the human mind. No, it's a washing machine, Doctor. Human mind.
Human mind is still one of my most favorite things to happen. Because he's just wrong. 100% wrong.
Yeah, and everybody's trying to tell him that and he just won't listen. Kind of like Robson in this entire series.
We're now into episode 3, which I've called Weed Life 420 Blaze It.
Oh, good.
And this is where the doctor starts, he's examining the evil weed, and he's like, the doctor says, like, you should go get medical help for your wife. So Harris leaves to do so. But that was why the doctor was there. And also, Harris just left the prisoner.
With his wife. He's apparently in a coma.
Which I think Jamie kind of says something like, aren't we prisoners? And the doctor's like, shh, just be happy. Don't mention it, just be happy that they apparently forgot.
So they go back to the TARDIS to study it, and that's when we get the weed is alive!
Which makes this weed in particular special. It doesn't.
And they go through history books about myths and legends from the ocean.
Is it like a Earth book, or is it just a doctor book?
No, it's an Earth book, okay. Because they said that it's this particular thing is from like somewhere in Scotland.
Yeah, it's legend that actually apparently exists or existed about, you know, killer seaweed.
Does this actually exist, or is this a lot like that thing Jamie was scared of?
There's a reason why they call it Killer Kelp.
Killer Kelp, that's a good title for this episode.
Yes, it's the only thing that kept on running through my mind was Attack of the Killer Kelp.
That sounds like a chocolate bar on SpongeBob.
Killer Kelp?
Killer Kelp. Or cereal, maybe.
Jamie sneezes a lot. Did that go anywhere?
It's because of the gas. The seaweed emits a poisonous gas naturally. It's the same one that those guys were breathing out.
And it makes Jamie sneezy.
Meanwhile, Robson is getting super yelly and pissed off because he thinks like they're trying to overthrow him.
At this point, he is majorly paranoid.
With, I guess, some good reason.
I think at some stage at this point, he hasn't even been touched by the kelp. The seaweed has nothing to do with it. He's just this paranoid. How did he get this job again?
That's a good question. There's so many people in roles of power on Doctor Who that should not be. And I'm confused as to how they got there.
To be fair,
Look at this election.
I was going to say, you've worked a shitty retail job. You've had bosses where you're like,
how did they get there? Yeah.
I am smarter than you in every way.
How did this happen?
But Mr. Oak locks Robson in a room and gases him. Then there's foam.
Oh, yeah. So he's just his own ass up until then.
But he's like banging on the door and Harris opens the door and Robson runs out. But Robson just bolts. But Harris sees a creature moving in the vents. So he knows stuff is up. But Team TARDIS is heading back to Harris's house. It's locked. Victoria hairpins the door. And the room is flooded with foam. And there's tentacles. And it's probably very exciting. The Doctor and Victoria go to the roof and pull Jamie through a skylight. I don't know how that all led to that. I don't know how they got separated.
Jamie was in the kitchen because of the gas. I think the Oak and Quill did something to the gas in the kitchen while they were pretending to fix something.
Okay, that makes sense. That's when we got that hair, not hair, that seaweed hand scene. And meanwhile, Harris and I've never caught this other guy's name, but this guy that's like also like worried that Robson's losing his mind and has, I think, a French accent. I'm not entirely sure.
Swedish, I think, or it could have been Dutch, but I'm pretty sure it was Swedish.
We'll have to ask Vince if it was convincing.
I could be completely and utterly wrong. He's from another country, Van Loya or something.
He only has an accent sometimes, and so that makes it even harder to know.
It's only when he says certain words that he has the accent. Like, he says, yeah, instead of yes.
But him and Harris are just, like, sort of talking to each other, like, we need to take care of this Robson situation, because it's getting out of hand. And then the doctor shows up and tells everyone that the seaweed is alive! Like, he doesn't say this bit until, like, way later. He's like, oh, by the way, your house is completely covered in seaweed and flooded. And Harris is like, what the fuck? My wife is there.
And the doctor and then thought that he had taken his wife to the medical facility already.
I told you to take her to the medical facility, so I just assumed. I didn't even look. We left.
But then we see Maggie, and she's going for a stroll on the beach.
Stroll in the beach.
Directly to the ocean. Which I always think is a good shot, no matter what it's in.
Robson joins up with her first and is like, and then she's like, you will obey. And he's like, yes, I will. Then she walks straight into the ocean. As Robson watches her.
How did she stay alive? I mean, the body's still human.
That's a good question.
Maybe.
Where did she go?
Down.
The seaweed produces gas, so maybe it...
They can't survive around pure oxygen.
Then I got nothing. I don't have a good explanation.
They just like, this would be a cool ending.
Maybe it changes your body chemistry enough that you can breathe whatever that gas is.
Because they do grow seaweedy.
Seaweed lives in the water, so hey.
Yeah, I think it changed. So, like, the body maybe isn't completely human anymore. It's more seaweed than human.
But then it'll revert back when they get defeated.
For happy endings.
That was the end of episode 3. We're now into episode 4, which I've called The Dangers of the Weed. They say the weed so much in this episode, and I giggled every single time. They sound like old people talking about...
discussing the dangers of the weed?
Of the weed. Are you on the weed? The weed. This is like the weirdest PSA. Don't do the weed, kids, or you'll drown in foam. They're trying to call the rigs. They have two rigs, Rig A and Rig B, but they can't get any answers.
By the way, Joe didn't know for the longest time that Rig B wasn't a name.
I was like, who's Rig B?
Why are they calling Rig B and who is that?
It wasn't until they said Rig A that I was like, oh...
No, Rigby was busy listening to Rig-A.
God.
It kind of works if you're into really bad puns.
I am.
I am too.
I'm just glad it's someone else making it, not me.
So they're calling Rig-A and Rig-B.
B, the letters.
They're not getting a hold of anybody. They want to go check it out, but they can't get permission.
And then there's a scene where the technicians are like, we've been doing this forever. We are exhausted and kind of bored. And I'm like, same. Can something happen? Because guess what the next thing is that happens? They hear the fucking noise.
So there's a sound in the pipes.
There's a sound in the pipes. This is new information.
We did not know this previously.
But then we get an okay scene with Victoria, who is having a chat with Jamie.
Oh, it makes me sad.
She's frightened and she's not entirely enjoying herself.
To be honest, she's just done with all this bullshit.
She's so done.
She's like, you know what I think would be nice? Not almost dying every 5 seconds. That seems like a way I could live.
And then she basically has that same chat with the doctor as well.
But in different wording, thankfully. And he's much more accepting of it.
Jamie's like, no, we're having adventures and it's fun. And what's wrong with you? And the doctor's like, yeah, I get you.
That makes sense. That's fair. Not dying sounds good.
So Harris finds Robson just standing in the sea. It's like, what the hell are you doing? Let's go
What's
back.
What's happening there, buddy?
He had too much of the weed.
So that they're sending a guy down to investigate the pipe shaft thing to see if there's a blockage or what's, you know, making that noise.
It's bubbles.
It's bubbles.
I know you're shocked by this.
Weedy bubbles.
It's foam.
The guy that is investigating all this gets eaten by the bubbles.
I think it's more the seaweed under the bubbles, but you never see it.
It's like leafy bubbles. It looks like a really weird stew.
Yeah, it looked pretty gross. On the other hand, it also looked kind of fun. Let's go swimming in bubbles. Amazing. Yay!
Well, the guy doesn't return, and the doctor and Jamie are like, well, then let us go down there. We'll go figure it out, which sounds like a terrible idea.
It does, especially after they just heard this one, whatever his last name is, screaming for his life and dying.
I think even Jamie's like, I don't know.
Say,
and the doctor's like, no, come on.
The doctor's like, yeah, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to go. And then, like, he starts to go and he turns to Jamie and he's like, you're not going to let me go alone, are you? And Jamie's like, oh, no, I guess not.
So they go down there and then Harris shows up and is like, they did what? I don't want them to have done that. I can't remember if it's Oak or Quill. The one who talks says it's too late. They went down.
Oh, Quill doesn't speak.
Quill's the motherfucker I don't like.
Oh. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
Oh, that scene. I'll never be over that scene.
It will never be wiped from your mind.
Oh, it's permanently embedded.
Maybe you had that nightmare, like, retroactively.
I swear, the nightmares I've had was that guy. It looked like that guy. He had that sort of stretchy face. Let's not get into my troubles. So then some people show up to deal with all of this infighting in the, you know, with Robson and all that.
Yeah, they call the actual director, who's a woman.
And then she gets filled in.
She's very no-nonsense, too.
Yeah, she's no-nonsense, but she will listen to reason.
Which
she's
is no a good nonsense combination.
And not an idiot.
Yes, it's great. Megan, I can't remember her last name, Jones, I think?
Yes, Megan Jones. I have it in my notes. So, Harris is going to take a helicopter to check out the rigs.
That was, like, all he could get cleared for. He wanted more. He wanted to get, like, a...
He wanted to get government into it. And Megan's like, no.
Megan doesn't have time for nonsense. But she is gonna actually look into it. She doesn't have time for denial, either.
So, Jamie and the Doctor are menaced by Bubbles. But it's okay, they get out.
But it's fine. They just get a little soapy.
Their pants get clean. Well, pants and a kilt, I guess. But they get out, and no one's there. The place is empty. And they go to look for Victoria. So Harris is like, the rigs are fucked. They're covered in foam. It's bad. And he's like, we should just bomb it.
We should just blow it all up. Because the seaweed's alive. It's clearly trying to invade us. And we should blow everything up. And Megan's like, whoa, that's a little drastic.
Robson says that first because
he's there.
He's also bad, so...
Yeah, he's taken over way over by at this point.
And it's like their base, so he doesn't want them blowing up their base.
It's his baby! He built it with his own hands! He practically says that out loud, and it makes no sense.
I've not turned off pipes in 300 years! The Doctor fills all the new people in about the weed, and says that Robson is under control of the weed. Which is true. But Jamie finds an unconscious Victoria. Why was she unconscious? I don't even remember.
She was knocked unconscious by Oak and Quill. She was trying to save the Doctor and Jamie.
Oh, right.
Why did they just knock her unconscious, though? Besides the fact that we don't want her dead.
But she wakes up. She's fed up.
She's done, you guys.
And
she's
I don't so blame
done.
Her.
She's done with everything.
She gets kidnapped so many times. You'd be tired of that. The noise returns, and the weed is spreading. The Doctor's like, we have to destroy the nerve center, which I don't know where he's gotten this idea from, what basis he has for the fact that there is a nerve center that needs to be destroyed.
I mean, I guess he studied the seaweed.
He studied the legend?
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of.
But it's not very satisfying to just have the Doctor be like, oh, we have to push the red button because the red button needs to be pushed.
On the other hand, he does like pushing red buttons.
It's true.
So, but then the weed, like, pops up in the, like, behind this glass thing.
There's a big glass part of the pipe. I don't remember what it's for.
Condensation in the pipes. They don't want any. So they have a clear part so that they can see if anything's going wrong.
A big tentacle weed thing pops up and starts smashing against it. Because the weed just wants to break free. And that's the end of episode 4. And we are now into episode 5. Foam, weed, foam. See, I'm the one who makes bad puns.
That's a pretty good one, actually. I'll give that one to you.
But the Doctor's like, if you blow up the rigs, because that's what they want to do, it's going to make it expand so much, it's going to make things worse.
It's going to take over the entire planet. Actually, I think he said all of England or Britain at first. And then it kind of expands out from there.
For as much as anyone goes anywhere else in Classic Who, it might as well be the entire planet. I should say this era, not, like, all of Classic Who.
We don't know yet.
That's not a fair assertion to make. I have no knowledge.
Hey, they've been to America.
Yeah, they've been to Scotland.
They've been places. They've been other places. They just end up on England a lot. That's all I'm saying.
which Jamie conveniently brought up at the beginning of the first episode.
Yeah. I'm just saying I'm with Jamie on this.
So then they sort of deduct that the engineers must have been the first Wheaties.
Because they know the entire layout of all the rigs and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would be Oak and Quill. Harrison's a search party for Robson because Robson's gone now.
I feel like it's in this episode or the episode before where basically Harris has been kind of put in control. He's gone from being this guy. He's like, I don't really know. I'm sorry, I gotta like arrest you guys. I'm not in like control or anything. So it's like, well, Robson's clearly not in any position to be leading anything, so you're in charge here. And he's like, okay, I can do this.
That's the reason why Megan's there too, to check up on what's going on, because of that.
Because they did kind of unofficially take over.
Yeah, and then he had to officially take over, and she's his boss, the big boss. She's the director of the entire project.
The big, big boss.
She's the big, big boss.
So they find Robson, and they're going to interrogate him, basically. And Megan says she might be able to, because he's acting all super weird. She's like, I might be able to talk to him because we're friends. She talks to him, and she does manage to get him out of his weird trance a little bit, but not for very long. Megan's like, all right, we're going to destroy the weed. We're going to eradicate the weed. Get the weed off these streets. Meanwhile, Victoria's like talking to Jamie like, I want to leave. And Jamie's like, but we haven't helped yet. That's what we do. We help, then we leave.
Is this the part where Jamie's like, I think the doctor actually doesn't have an idea of what he's doing this time? Or is that in the next episode? I think that happens before Victoria gets kidnapped again.
Which is coming up.
Obviously.
It happens. A lot. That Robson is left alone, but something's talking to him through the vents.
The seaweed.
He gets some instructions from the seaweed in the vents. He gets out of his little cell, and his evil hand takes out a guard. His hand is now covered in seaweed.
I find that weird, because the seaweed that's on them doesn't actually change the people it touches.
That is a little weird. I guess you have to have
the actual sting from the seaweed monster.
Yeah. So, Jamie finds Oak and Quill. They're in, like, gas masks and stuff, and they've been sort of going around fucking shit up. They get into a brief fight, but they both get away. Then Robson kidnaps Victoria. That happens. And the weed breaks free. Everything is a mess.
Things aren't going well, you guys.
This is when the serial starts to take off. The end of episode 5.
I know.
We didn't even see the monster until episode 5. That's way too long to wait.
I think you saw hints of it in episode 4.
Yeah, like at the end when it like smashes up against the thing. It takes too long to get going. Robson takes Victoria to this car and drives to a helicopter, and then they get in the helicopter and get out. And then the Doctor and Jamie find out about this. They open communications with the helicopter. Robson's like, I want the doctor. The doctor's like, I think this will lead me to the nerve center, so I'm gonna do it, even though it's probably a trap. So the Doctor and Jamie get into another helicopter and follow him. They're going to one of the rigs.
They still had that one.
The control rig. The one in the middle.
They had a ticket good for 5 free helicopter rentals.
I'm like 70% positive that this is the same helicopter from Enemy of the World.
I think that they use helicopters so much during this stage that they decided, you know, we're going to just have this helicopter on standby. This is our helicopter.
They can't land the helicopter because it's covered in foam. So they jump into the foam, which is fun. The doctor has a beanie now, which I am incredibly happy about.
Where did he get that from?
I don't know, but I enjoy it.
You have to assume that he, like, stopped at the TARDIS before getting in the helicopter, like, or someone gave it to him, like, hey, you'll need this.
I think he probably found it on the station somewhere, just lying around, and he thought, ooh, hat.
No, yeah, that sounds like everything I know about the doctor.
That man loves to steal clothes.
And wear hats. And so, wear hats. Stealing a hat is not hard at all to imagine.
So they're going around and they hear Victoria scream. They follow it. Robson is waiting for them. And that is another sort of weak cliffhanger.
We already knew you'd be there.
Okay, so that's the end of episode 5. We're now in episode 6, which I've called the rent cycle. Robson invites them into the washing machine. He's just covered in suds. There's foam everywhere. He's like coming to them like, come in, join us. we're all gonna be one.
That's not creepy at all.
It's creepy, but it's also kind of ridiculous, because like I said, he's just got like soap suds hanging off his face.
I know, it's ridiculous, but it's what he says that's creepy.
It's just like, come join us in our rave.
In the washing machine.
Yeah, the washing machine. That's the name of a club.
We're gonna go down to the washing machine and dance in some bubbles.
That's how you do this in Modern Who.
In Modern Who, I think it'd be called the spin cycle.
Yeah. So Victoria screams, because she does, but it is very effective.
Victoria, you scream. It is super effective.
Robson starts shrinking back from it, because...
Which, I got excited, because this is actually RPG rules, I think.
Yeah, there's Doctor Who RPG that screaming is actually a superpower. It gets people to you quicker and stuff. It buys you some time.
It can shock an enemy for like a couple. Yeah, that's probably like where this came from.
Yeah,
and this is the reason why Victoria screams a lot. It's her purpose.
It wasn't just bad writing, it was leading
we
to
were
something.
Building up to this moment.
Oh, I think this is an awesome moment.
I do too. I enjoy this. It's almost like the writers are poking fun at it a little
bit.
Yeah,
it's a very self-aware thing to do.
They slightly break the fourth wall, unlike 12, who literally breaks the fourth wall.
So they go back to the roof and try to wave down a helicopter, but the helicopter can't see them. So the doctor's like, well, Robson had to land his helicopter in here somewhere. I can fly it, because we know how good I am at flying things.
I saw a guy fly one once. Actually, it was a girl, but that's not the point.
So they get in Robson's helicopter, and he flies it about as well as he flies the TARDIS.
Nobody should get in a vehicle with the Doctor driving it until he actually learns how to drive, which he does.
I am looking forward to that.
We are getting there.
But he does a loop-de-loop. He's like, I didn't even know you could do that in a helicopter, which I'm pretty sure you probably can't.
I totally headcanon that Jamie and Victoria are totally both, like, sick everywhere.
Victoria was, like, unsure until right at that moment. She's like, yeah, maybe I'll stay. And then she, like, threw up, and then, like, the helicopter went upside down, and the throw-up, like, fell back down, and she was like, no.
I don't want to
I'm definitely done. There are some visual images for you.
They fly around a lot, and shenanigans happen, and the other pilot has to get on and like, don't fuck up. Here's what you need to do. Go left, go right.
Stick down. Stick up.
Don't hit that thing.
Yeah, they almost crash into the rig at one stage, don't they?
Yeah, they fly through the rig, at least according to our reconstruction.
Oh, I think I watched the same recon as you this time.
Well, ours had like CGI flying through the rig, so.
Which made no sense with how a helicopter is actually designed. I'm thinking, how did they not actually crash into this rig? Like, half a dozen times.
It's a very special helicopter.
It doesn't have blades. It just hovers.
Meanwhile, Harris is like wanting to evacuate the base, but Megan wants to wait on the doctor. And then the doctor shows up. So cool. And then that's when the doctor's like, screaming is the answer. And I know where the nerve center is. And we're just going to scream into it.
Specifically Victoria's scream.
Victoria's specific scream resonates in such a way that it will defeat the monster.
They're literally amplifying Victoria's scream to attack the weed.
They weaponize screaming here, which is the most awesome thing ever, because it's so, as you said, self-aware. It's like they're totally poking fun at themselves, making a scream all the time, and thinking, you know what would be cool if this was actually really a superpower.
It's not a sign of weakness, it's her attacking them with screaming, which is kind of something she's done a handful of times throughout her run of sort of
crying as a distraction.
She's done that stuff before, so
it's fitting for her. I will say, I know it's kind of like a thing that people say, classic Who female companions scream a lot, and I know there are people who are like, not really. I mean, I think if you probably look at it, Victoria's probably on the top of that list.
I think Susan's actually at the top of the list.
Yes, maybe. It is a nice little, like he said, a very self-aware and sort of like a playing on that. That's good. That's a good thing.
I think it's like a really great use of something that people would probably think was getting old by that point. The screaming girl companion.
The weed foam bursts through the thing and they've got the sound and they just start blasting it at it. There's some behind the scenes footage of this that exists and it's...
Which looks really fun.
Yeah. Just a giant like tentacle like thrashing about and some soapy suds. It's really cool. But they defeat it. The weed is defeated.
With the power of screaming.
Robson and Maggie are okay, and the weed is gone from the
He's still
rigs.
A dick, by the way.
Do
He's
we
just
care
okay.
that Robson's okay? I mean, really?
I care that Maggie's okay, but not Robson. But everyone is okay, just this once.
Except for that Vaughn, whatever his last name is.
Oh, right. He did die, didn't he?
Swedish guy who may not actually be Swedish.
He went to examine, to check out the pipe, and then got eaten by the bubblies.
He died for real. Well, that's a bummer.
And he was never seen again.
No one seems to care either.
He's never mentioned again after that, is he?
And it was 3 episodes ago. Who cares?
We've already forgotten this guy. We don't even remember his name or nationality. Come on.
The evil has been defeated, so everyone gathers around to eat some shawarma. At this point, I was like, why is this episode still going?
Why does this exist? Why are they having a party and just eating and celebrating being alive? And hooray, for once, Robson isn't a complete dick.
I know why the episode keeps going, because we're getting rid of Victoria, but it seems very uncharacteristic of the Doctor to sort of
stick around. I feel like maybe he just hadn't eaten in a while.
That's when, like, Victoria's like, I don't want to go with you guys, but she doesn't want to leave the Doctor either.
She doesn't want to go, but she just can't do it anymore.
Jamie's like, well, she has to go and blah, 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 but the Doctor's like, no, it's her decision, which I'm like, hey, that's a big improvement for you.
That's some character growth. Look at that.
Just dumping your granddaughter on some planet. That's how you dealt with the last person who was being wishy-washy. Then we get a scene of Robson returning to his semi-dickish ways of like, back to work, everyone!
The pie chart, the non-dick wedge has widened slightly.
But then Jamie talks to Victoria, saying that the Doctor went for a swim, because that's what he does now.
Yeah. He sees the ocean and he just cannot control himself.
The Doctor, by the way, has been like, we'll stick around. We'll give you, like, a day to make this choice. We won't just, like, drop you off and leave right away. We'll be here for the day, and if you want to stay, then you'll stay. We'll go. They're not just, like, leaving her to make this choice immediately, which I thought was nice.
And then the next day, they're all walking towards the TARDIS, but she does not. She stays behind. And she's going to be, like, watched after by Megan Jones, right?
I thought it was the Harrises that were going to look after her.
Yeah, the Harrises. Not Megan. Sorry, Harris.
Yeah, she's still fairly young.
So Maggie and Harris are going to watch after her. And they all watch as the TARDIS flies off.
It flies up.
Which I think is just that same footage reversed.
It is the same footage reversed, but it's nice that they actually show it.
Then inside, we get a scene of Jamie being really sad.
Jamie likes Victoria.
Because isn't it like, where to next? And Jamie was like, who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, poor Jamie.
I like how the last lines that the Doctor liked it too.
Hey, I'm sad also. She was my friend too. So yeah. Maybe quit being mopey at me.
Adventure, Jamie, it awaits.
That's the end of the episode and the end of Fury from the Deep. We did it.
End of Victoria.
It's the end of an age.
I will say, I feel like that was a fairly decent send-off for a character that they never really figured out what to do with.
It's been a while since we've had a good send-off to a character. Like,
yeah, the last couple of times we just were like, they're dead. Bye. They're gone.
Dodo's leaving. Pissed me off.
I'm never gonna not be mad about it.
And as much as I don't care for him, Ben and Polly's exit was really weak too. Like, they're gone for most of the serial, and then they come back and like, okay, bye. This one, like, set it up better.
This one did set it up. Yeah, it set it up episodes before it actually happened.
Like, I don't think we've had as good a one as this since, like, Ian and Barbara, maybe.
That's a send-off.
They get to have fun in a photo montage. I don't know who's next.
Do we have a while where it's just the Doctor and Jamie?
I don't know.
I know. Spoilers.
Future knowledge.
We'll find out. Let's find out organically.
Okay. No spoilers. No spoilers.
I'm not going to spoil you. I wish that this was just the last two episodes. The first episode with the last bit of the fourth episode squished onto it and leave it at that. Because the first 3 episodes and half of the fourth were just boring. I didn't like them very much. But the last half of it, a little less than half of it, was really good. I like the ending. Robson was a total dick, and I did not like him at all. Megan and Maggie were cool, except Maggie was barely in it. I can't remember the foreign guy's name at all, except that it's like Van of One something, and he says, yeah, a lot. And he dies.
He was basically just Harris, but, you know, expendable.
Yeah, but Harris is a good character. That guy wasn't.
He was redundant, though. He filled the same purpose, and he just didn't need to be there.
I mean, he needed to be there so that someone could die to raise the stakes. That was his function.
I don't understand why anybody had to die in this story. Except nearly every story, if Doctor Who has to have at least one dead body. Yeah, this is the reason why I have a kill count on my side. My seasonal kill count.
It's racked up a lot of bodies.
Except my kill count's the one where Team TARDIS actually scores kills.
Who's leading right now?
The Doctor. He's committed genocide like 5 times in the first 3 seasons.
Oh shit, you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. I'm keeping score of this shit to prove to the people who think that the Doctor would never ever do stuff like this does. On the other hand, on the season I'm on now, which is 3, I'm on the last episode of The Gunfighters. Dodo has the highest kill score.
I'm like surprised by that information.
She breaks up that kill count. I think she's got
is
like,
it all at once, or does it happen because they're like one big thing, or just
because it's inadvertent kills too? If they do something which accidentally gets someone else killed, I put her on there because they inadvertently got people killed. I think 2 of them happened in the arc. I can't remember where the other 2 come from.
Interesting.
Except for the Doctor's one genocide, I think he's got there. But he has no personal kills, inadvertent or otherwise. And he rakes them up. For someone who says that he's not a violent character, he can be violent. I do not have much to say about Fury from the Deep, which is why I'm going on about the Doctor's kill count.
It's a lot of filler. It's a lot of foam. Yeah, the last 2 episodes are pretty good. Everything before, it's very redundant and repetitive. The last episode, it really kicks in. I love the weaponizing of Victoria's scream. I like how they've sent off Victoria. I like a lot of what they did with Victoria. This serial is really interesting and well-written and good. The best send-off we've had in a long while. As much as I dislike it, that scene was really good. It was appropriately frightening. I will give it that. It terrified me. So kudos, I guess. You guys will probably have already seen it. I had to gif it, or gif it, or however you want to pronounce that. I had to relive that moment while making that. Oh my god.
You will relive that moment in your dreams.
You were so brave.
I did it for you guys. But yeah, I'd say not the best serial, but a really solid ending. It kind of evens out a little bit to an okay episode.
When this episode is moving, it's awesome. It's really fun. I'm really bummed because I bet that it's super enjoyable to watch people just splash around in the foam and wrestle with giant tentacle thingies. Like, I bet that was a blast. If that footage exists, probably a lot of the episodes wouldn't feel like they dragged so much, because you'd be like, yeah, nothing's really happening, but that was fun to watch. That would probably carry it a whole bunch. It was an excellent send-off. Like Joe said, one of the better ones we've had in a while. Especially for a character that they really, really struggled with, I feel like.
I have one final Joe fact, by the way.
Oh, what's that?
Joe facts!
This is the last completely missing serial we have. There's some more that are missing. Every serial from here on out at least has at least one existing episode.
So if you're tired of hearing us say, this would be great if it existed, very shortly we will never say that again.
We will never say that again from 3 on.
Then it'll just be like, if we say it's boring, it's
got, it's just boring. It's boring.
It has no excuses. So, Melissa, anything you want to plug before we wrap it up?
See my Tumblr at malicerewatchesdoctorwho.tumblr.com and enjoy. I'll get back to it soon.
Good luck with the dentist.
Oh, I hate dentists.
Oh, you said you're on the Gunfighters. That's oddly relevant. You have a dentist thing? The Doctor went to a dentist?
I mentioned that on the first episode.
That's awesome.
If you liked this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. Be sure to rate and comment on iTunes. If you'd like to help us out even more, go to WatchYourAssalon.com/support. And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which is Patreon.com/Watchathon, where you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like videos of us watching the episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, and day early episodes. Melissa is a patron! Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Melissa is also on the Friends of Rassilon page!
Yay!
And tune in next time when we talk about the finale, The Wheel in Space! That sounds spinny.
Sounds like a big wheel in space. Ooh.
What kind of wheel is it? We'll find out. Thanks for listening, you guys. Stay calm and wrestle on. Bye.
Bye.
Woo. What's that? It's a sonic screwdriver. Never fails. There we are.